Now, we're living in a day, folks, where there's more than enough questions to go around. Everybody's got a question, and nobody knows the answers. And in a time where everybody needs help somewhere. And so I hope that, and I don't hope, I know that what I'm going to give you tonight is going to be a blessing and help us in a lot of ways. But you know what, folks? When we look at this, and I know many of you have read it through many times, and if you have never read your Bible through, you need to read it through. It just starts making more sense when you read the Old Testament, you come into the New Testament, you get under grace. I mean, the whole thing just makes sense. But when you read it again, and you read it again, and you read it again, and you read it again, it even starts to make more and more sense and come together. And so it is the answer. It has the answers. But just before Jesus went away, he left us a big answer. And this was very, very, very important to him. And yet, as I was praying about what to bring tonight, and I thought of this, I thought, dear Jesus, how we have ignored and ignored and we ignore your answers that you give us over and over again. And if we would just do what he says and receive what this word tells us to do, how much better would life be for us? And so I want to tell you tonight, you know that we have everything in heaven available to us, everything. And you say, then why don't we pull it down? Well, that's just another good question. And so I'm going to give you an answer tonight, and it is the only answer. And you're going to say, oh, I know, Pastor, I know. But let's just take a look, because I'm not going to say especially the younger folks, because most of us that have, over the years, we've grown a little better on social media. But some folks, you'll hear them say, well, I Googled that, I Googled that, I Googled that, I Googled that. And I think sometimes it's just easier to get the answer on Google. Now, I'm not talking about definitions. I visit that all the time. I'll say define this or spell that. And so, you know, it's really neat to get that help. Or if it's scripture I can't come up with, I'll put in a few words that just brings my memory and get it. But so it's pretty much spoiled us that way. But you can't put everything in Google. In fact, a direction for your life, you can't ask Google about that. Google doesn't know. But I think sometimes we'd rather do that, or we had rather ask a human, we'd rather ask a person, or we'd rather watch a preacher maybe on TV. We'd just rather hear it from a person. You teach me, and you tell me. I don't want to have to search it out in the Word. Well, we do have the Word. And for instance, you know, the Word says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Somebody say amen. And that's a general word about, you know, we're to gather together as children of God. But then it does not tell us, it's not specific in telling us what church to go to. So it just says go, but it doesn't say what church. So if people want to know what church to go to, then there's a place where you can go to get the answer. And so if you say, well, you know, I want to get married, but I don't know who to marry. Well, the Bible tells you it's okay to be married, and it says it's okay not to be married. But it said it's not good that man should be alone. And so it does say general things like that, but it doesn't tell you who to marry. But there is a specific one that will give us direction, and you'll hear, don't go there, don't do that. And if you override it, it gets you into a multitude of trouble. And so that's where a lot of our trouble has come from. But I just want to say tonight, I just think we ought to remove the middleman, folks, don't you? I mean, when we're asking questions to God, and maybe we're praying about something and we're wondering, we don't know what to do. We just go and ask a whole bunch of people. And now we got the middleman. It's like having a middle person in your marriage. You don't want no middle person in your marriage. I've even told counsel in marriage counseling, I've told a couple, you know, I've seen churches become the pastor's third person in that marriage. We traveled the United States. We saw churches. We saw pastors. We saw all kinds of churches. And I would see that pastor, and his children had gone away. They'd gone gone everywhere, and wife and him were about ready to split up, and she said, I swear that man loves that church more than he does us. He's always gone. He never gives us any attention. Everybody has his attention but me. So it can be anything that becomes that third person. And the Holy Spirit's jealous, you guys. Let's start in the book of James. I want to show you. He's very jealous because Jesus said, we'll go there because the Holy Spirit is the answer. I'll just cut to the answer because the Holy Spirit is the answer. Well, I look over there in the book of James. You can look above. Hold John because we're going to stay there all night. But I want us to start in the book of James right now. Actually, you can just put it up. You guys can go on to John. Just look above right now. James chapter 4, verse 4. No, not that. That's not what I want. Oh, here we go. 5. It's James chapter 4, verse 5. It says, or do you think that the scripture says in vain? The spirit who dwells in us yearns jealousy? The old King James says that the Holy Spirit lusts to envy. What does that mean? It just says that he yearns jealousy. How does that read that? Yeah, I thought maybe I was reading that wrong in the New King James. The yearns jealousy. But it just means he is a jealous God. And here's the deal. It's talking about, if we had read, we're not going to take time to read the verses above, but it says you have a lot of problems because you ask wrongly or you ask amiss. You don't receive because you ask amiss, and that you may spend it on your pleasures. So you want a lot of things, but you want it all for your own comfort and your own pleasure. And the Holy Spirit says, I'm jealous of you. Because I wanted to help you, but you wouldn't let me help you. You know, he wants to help you, but when you're running to somebody else, you've got over there and you're asking 10 people what they think you ought to do. And he's over here just like, I wanted to help her. I had the answer for him, but he didn't even consult me. Now, this is one of my own pleasures, but I'll tell you way back years ago, it was about a year after Rick and Jamie passed, that I bought a new home. Sarah and I built it. And so we wanted to put a swimming pool in. She was about, you know, 7 or 8, about 8 years old then, and her and a little friends in the neighborhood. I thought, well, I will build a pool. And I thought, well, I guess I better find out how much it'll cost. I think the Holy Spirit, without a doubt, told me, you better find out. Count the cost first. See if you got the money. So I went to a few people that had pools. I went to my brother-in-law and said, hey, you got a pool? How much does that cost you? Is that expensive? And he gave me his thoughts. And so I went to Velma, of course, that knew everything. And I asked Velma what she and Bob thought. And they gave me their thoughts. And so I asked 3 or 4 people in the church. And pretty soon I heard the Holy Spirit say, go look at your checkbook. That's all you got to do. See, you hear him. And he leads you right. The other people didn't know what I should do. They didn't know me, but he knew me. He knows us. And you'll see, man, he looks out in the future. He saves us from a lot of things going on. Well, we never did. We didn't build that pool until years later. But we get in a hurry, and the Holy Spirit gets all jealous and says, hey, I'm lusting to envy here because I'm the one that wanted to help you. Now, I know I'm not much of a sleeper. I have insomnia too much more than I want to talk about. If I get sleepy enough, then I'll sleep. But I've just heard people that live on NyQuil or live on some kind of a pill, maybe not necessarily a sleeping pill. Sometimes doctors will give you one of those. But I hear the Holy Spirit when these people are just get addicted to some kind of NyQuil or cough syrup or whatever these crazy things are. And the Holy Spirit's over there lusting to envy, saying, I wanted to talk to you for a minute. I wasn't going to keep you up all night long. And then he's lusting, and he's jealous of that medicine. He's just jealous of it. I wanted to talk to you for a minute. I'll help you sleep. But you wouldn't let me help you because you jumped to get your own help too soon. Amen? So anyway, skipping the middleman. Well, let's go over to John 14, and we'll start right here. I just felt the Holy Spirit saying today, now you're going to tell them that I'm jealous, and I really am. I'm a jealous God. In the Hebrews, it says God is really, it says jealous is his name. God is a jealous God. And now the Holy Spirit is his spirit. It is. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is the Spirit of God. So he's got the same characteristics. He's jealous too. He's jealous of who? You. He's jealous of me and he's jealous of you. And he really wants to help us. So today I just felt him say, just tell them you all aren't giving me enough attention. How many men have heard your wife say that you don't give her enough attention or vice versa? It works both ways, I guess. But he said, I'm ignored a lot of the time in the church. The church ignores me. And I'll tell you right now, we've ignored him in here in the services. I've ignored him in the services, and I'm sure, Lyndall, you've ignored him. Yeah, I've gone home thinking, why didn't I stop right there? Why didn't we go right there? Why didn't we, you know? So you may be thinking that, but believe me, I'm the first one to think it. So I know when he convicts me. So he said, I don't want to be ignored in the church, and neither do I want to be ignored in their lives. So that's where we're going to go. We may stay here a few weeks, but we'll certainly go here tonight. So about 12, maybe 15 hours, a half a day or more before Jesus died, he had already washed the disciples' feet. They had already had the big dinner. He had already talked to Peter about, you're going to betray me. So all of that had already happened. So come down here to John chapter 14 and look what he says. I love this. It was so important. He didn't say, well, go take care of my mama, John. No, he just waited till the cross. I guess he thought that wasn't as important as this. So John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, verse 16, and I will pray, that means ask. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you for how long? Forever. He's not going anywhere. He's going to be forever with you. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Now notice he says he's with you, for he dwells with you. Right now, Jesus said he's with you, but when I'm gone, he's going to be in you. He's coming in you, and I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Now listen, church, if you've ever felt alone, I just want to tell you that Jesus promised right here, you saw it in black and white, that he would not leave us as orphans and he would never, ever, ever leave you alone. I don't care where you go in this life, who walks out of your life, what loved ones may leave you. He said, I will never leave you alone. You will never be an orphan. And he uses the word helper, or this word helper, in the New King James. But in the Old King James, many of you in here are like me, have many things memorized in the Old, and it says comforter. He says he will be a comforter to you. He will comfort you. He will hold you up. He will lift you up. When things are not good, he will comfort you. But Jesus said he's just absolutely going to be a helper to you. A helper in what? A helper in anything. A helper in everything. Anything you go through. Any situation. So there again, we look for people to help us. No one is paying me any attention. I don't have anyone to help me. Jesus said, yes, you do. He will help you. He is our strength. And Jesus describes him. Look at verse... Let's see, I don't want to jump ahead of myself here. Let's read 16 again, and I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper that he made abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive. They don't know him, but you surely know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I won't leave you comfortless. I will comfort you. Amen. So Jesus then... let's look down to verse 26. These things were so important to him. He wants to describe the helper to us right here in verse 26, or the comforter. But the helper, and then he tells you who the helper is. He is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things, and he will bring to remembrance all things that I have said to you. So that whole thing there is a whole, that's a week full of messages right there. But the helper, he is the Holy Spirit. The helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you. Okay, so now, not only is our helper to help us, it doesn't matter what you're going through. You got a lack of peace. You got confusion about something. He said he will be your teacher. He teaches. When this Spirit of the Lord comes, not only will he help you, but he will be your teacher about everything. But listen, church, that's only if he's inside us. Now, some people, we love Jesus. We came and gave our heart to the Lord and received him as Lord. But then we're supposed to go on from there, not leaving Jesus behind. But these are Jesus' instructions. He said, now look, I'm not leaving you alone, but I'm sending you somebody just like me. And I don't want you to ignore him, because he is going to help you. Jesus helped people. When the 5,000 people were out there and they were hot and tired, well, he sent them down to groups of 50 and fed them all lunch. With a little boy's lunch. I mean, it was supernatural. There's things you and I need every day, or maybe weekly in our life. It would be a supernatural event. And Jesus said, well, I've got the helper for you if you just call him. Instead of going around whining, I don't have this, I don't have the money, I don't have the education, I don't have this, I don't have that. He said, I'm your helper. Tell me, because right now I'm getting pretty jealous over you because you're not talking to me. You are not asking me about that. And so he really wants us to lean on him, church. I mean, he said, I will teach you. I will be your teacher. I'll teach you things. And that's when he's inside us. And tonight, my message, I just wanted to ask you this question. I think I wrote the title down so you'd have it on the website, Rick. What do I do? How many times do you hear people say, what do I do, Pastor? What do I do, friend? What do I do, sister? What do I do, brother so-and-so? Ask the Holy Spirit. We ask the Holy Spirit. If he's our helper and he's our teacher, then he said, I'll show you what to do. They don't know what to do. I mean, we're going to see tonight where he goes way out there in front of us. Ask him. He will teach us. Look at the next word there in, where are we? In 26, yeah. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, Jesus asked him to send the Holy Spirit. And he did, because Jesus always got his prayers answered. So he sent him to the disciples and to us, because he said he's for you and to your children and your children's children and to those who are afar off. Now we're down here 2 millenniums later, but he said he's for you too. You're afar off. Okay, so he'll teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Now, he said, you disciples, I'm going to be going away, and you guys are going to forget a lot of things I said to you. You're going to forget what I said, but he said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to remind you, I said that. He's going to remind you that I said this, and I said this. And how many times, I want to ask you guys, you that read your Bibles, okay, if you don't read your Bible, you're not going to have this blessing. But if you read your Bible, how many, or even the daily bread, but I'm telling you, a devotional, it does not even match the Bible, though it's good and it has a scripture. So second best, but we don't need second best. We need the best. So if you read your Bible, how many times has somebody come to you and ask you a question, or they needed counseling, or they just needed some help, and they weren't old enough yet, didn't know that they had this helper, the Holy Spirit. They didn't know they had this teacher. And so they're asking you. And all of a sudden, the teacher comes up in you. And this word that you didn't even have memorized, but somehow this came up and just came out of you, and you're like, ooh. Wow, that was good. What happened? He brought it back to your remembrance. See, and that's one of the offices of the Holy Spirit, is to bring it back to our remembrance. Now, I'm getting wiser and smarter in this social media. Not a lot, but better than a few years ago. So I called Lindell tonight, and I said, Lindell, can you tell me what a hard drive is? I thought I knew, but I wasn't sure. What's a hard drive? And he said, well, it has all the memory on your computer. It holds the memory, the stuff you put in, even your pictures. I mean, can you imagine? Is that a little thing? Or it's the inner thing? Oh, well, when I bought my car, they gave me, I thought that it was the hard drive. It was a little clip, about an inch long, not very thick. And he said, no, that was a thumb drive. I'm just getting to know a hard drive. Now I got a thumb drive. Software. Well, is it hard or is it software? So anyway, so the Holy Spirit can either be your thumb drive and you can just put your pictures on it, or he can be the hard drive and bring everything back to remembrance and cause you to remember what you had forgotten. So that is one of the Holy Spirit's offices. And listen, I use that one all the time. Now, sometimes he gets tired of me. But most of the time, he'll tell me where my keys are or where I put my glasses. Oh, you put them in there in your closet when you were getting dressed. You laid them up there when you were getting your shoes down. You put them on that shelf. I go in there. There they are. Because he remembers. You said, I don't want to bother him with that. Then don't. You know what? You'll hear people, I hear intelligent Christians say, I just hate to bother God with my shoulder hurting or my leg hurting because I drove past the hospital and there were so many cars out there and I see those poor people, they're in there dying and everything going on. You didn't want to bother your Father who loves you? What if your children said, Mom, I just knew you were too busy that day cooking. I didn't want to tell you then. No, they love us, and you know they love you, and you love them, and Jesus loves you. And so ask him, amen? Ask him. He will remember, and he brings things to our remembrance sometimes, and we don't even ask him to help us. Isn't that good? Man, I love it. You new converts, some of you people that's just not been saved long, and they've been coming in, they'll tell me, Pastor, God answered before I even asked him. I just thought about it. Do you remember that? Many of you just think about it, and sometimes it still happens, but not as much when he was treating us like little babies. And he just took care of us and favored us and pampered us, and before you even got it out of your mouth, there that answer was. And I'm going to tell you, if we start calling on him more and acknowledging him more and giving him more attention, I think that favor and these sweet things will be more and more, and you will recognize his memory coming into you, him teaching you things that you didn't know you knew. When you go for a job interview, probably not many of you in this crowd tonight is going to go for a job interview, but I've heard people come right into my office and say, Pastor, I wasn't even qualified for that job. So-and-so was more qualified, but I got it. How did that happen? I said, Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit did that. He asked you, and you knew what to say. So you say, well, that's not happening to me. Well, start talking to the Holy Spirit more. Don't ignore him, and don't leave him out, or he'll say, I'll leave you out then. Now read your Bible. I'll just tell you, it'll come back to help you, even when you're doing things like that. So we'll remember his words, and that'll come up. But look at this, 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send him. Aren't you glad Jesus is still talking to him there and in red letters? And he said, my Father will send him to you. He's still talking in the future. And here we're on the other side of this thing. He already came. He's already here. He told them, he's with you, but he'll be in you. And now he can look at us and say, man, he's in you and he is with you. Already, we're already here. Isn't that good, church? So he says, so the Father will send him in my name. He'll teach you all things, bring to remembrance all things. But look at verse 27. Oh, my goodness, church, when we grab a hold of this, when the body of Christ, if the world, if you and I could lead the world, I was so proud of Diane this morning. Through sitting there at her husband's dying bedside outside of a miracle and sending out a plea for somebody to meet Jesus. I was so proud of her. I thought, that is the power of the Holy Ghost on the woman of God. And it's verse 27, 4.0 right here, 27. Peace. Somebody say peace. I leave with you. Look at this. My peace. Now, this isn't the world's peace. It's not the peace that your money gives you. It's not the peace that your doctor gave you. He said, no, it's my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. Now, remember when I used that verse one night, it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, and it worked for me. You say, Pastor, you act like you're at the casino. It worked this time. No, I'm just saying the word worked. So my little Sarah was 7 years old, and Dad and Jamie had just been killed instantly together. And that was just that's a whole nother subject. And so there's that little girl. I'm trying to contend with her, and people would tell us they're in a better place. We knew that. And then one night she said, I want to see Daddy with skin on. I want to see his skin. I want to touch his skin. And how do you deal? Those things are so hard. And, Mom, I don't want to go to school in the morning without Jamie. I don't want to go without her. Mom, I don't want to go. I'm afraid to go without her. And I'm thinking, oh, God, what do I do? What do I do? And so I said, Holy Spirit, I just honestly don't have any answers for this baby girl. What in the world am I going to do? And he said, get your Bible. And I got it off. She was sleeping in my bed and turned the light on and turned right to this verse. And he said, now you tell her this, I'm going to give her my peace. Not the peace of Jamie, not the peace of her dad, not your peace. But I'll give her my peace to go to school with. And it's not like the world. The world can't do this. A doctor can't do it. And so tell her not to let her little heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So anyway, we kind of just marinated in that verse for a little while. And I remember going and getting a big old trash bag. And I filled it up with some pots and pans and some things. You know, she's only 7. And I filled it up as heavy as I could that I knew she could carry it. And I said, now, Sarah, try to carry this. So that little thing, you know, she's dragging it across and trying to carry it. And I said, baby, you think you could carry that to school tomorrow? Mom, are you crazy? I said, well, no, but do you think you could? I couldn't, Mom. And I said, well, but that's what you're doing, because our load right now is really, really heavy. I know it's heavy. It's heavy for Mama, too. But now here's what we're going to do. Okay, we're gonna take this old bag, and we're going to put it down over here, just like that says, in Jesus' name. And then we're going to get this peace. Let's just lift up our hands, and Jesus is going to give us his peace. And he said it. The world doesn't have anything like this. This is going to come from heaven. I said, get real, Mom. I said, no, I am real. You saw it, baby. He's given it to us from heaven. So that's good, Mama. That's good. We just, you know, wept. And do you know he gave her that peace that passed understanding just like that? He gave it to her in a second. No one could do that. I couldn't do that. I didn't know what to say to that baby. But you know what? That's how he is. And if we'll just bother to ask him and then believe it. Now, I know some things are hard for us to grasp. But when you're in a hard place, he's right there. And we're in a good place, he's right there. And when there's not enough, he's right there like he was at the 5,000. And when he was out on the ship and it was, you know, it was on the rocks, a marriage on the rocks, or you know, storming in your house or storming in your mind or storming in your wherever, he was there. And so he said, I've got peace to give you, and I don't give it like the world does. And he's talking this, now we're talking here about the Holy Spirit. So this word peace, when we got to Jerusalem, when we got to Israel, even at the airport, first word we had when we went into the Israeli airport was shalom. And then from there on, it would be shalom. Every time our bus driver got on the bus, it was shalom, folks. And when our tour guide got on, shalom, they shalomed us when we came in. They shalomed us when we left. It was shalom at the hotel. It was just shalom, wherever. And I looked that word up. And, of course, it's peace. It's almost like salvation. It has everything in it. And so when they say shalom, and I love this, it meant having everything and lacking nothing. So every time people say shalom, Jesus is saying, now see, he knew what shalom meant because that was one of their words. But peace, it's translated peace in English. So he was saying, peace, I leave with you. I'm going away, but I'm sending the Holy Spirit. So he will be your shalom. And so it's not, he said, I don't want you to have a lack. Then if we do have lack, why? Well, have we talked to him about that lack? Did we ask him about it? Did we tell him that that's not quite right? I don't have enough of this. I don't have enough joy. I don't have enough peace. God, I don't have any peace. Well, then you better get over there and bring this scripture back to him and believe it. See, you can see it but not partake of it. But I don't want us just to see it, man. I want to partake of it, don't you? I'm glad my little girl was able to partake of it that night. Well, and then Jesus said, we can't do everything I want to do tonight. I've got so much here. Then he said he would be a witness when he comes. He would testify of me. Do you remember that one over in John 15? You can put it up, John 15, 26. And tonight, in fact, just before I closed my Bible after studying and I was getting ready to come here, I said, now, Holy Spirit, I know how you are. And Jesus said that this is the way you are. He said, when you came, you would testify of him. Now, Holy Spirit, with all due respect, I'm not talking about Jesus tonight, though you all are one. I'm talking about you, and I want you to let me talk about you, and don't keep kicking me back over into Jesus. Now, you see how I did? I got over here and talked about Jesus leaving us peace. But that's what the Holy Spirit does, because he's so humble, he would have had me over there all night. But I said, Jesus, don't let him do that to me. And I felt like Jesus said, okay, we're going to teach on the Holy Spirit tonight. So he is our witness. There was one man up at the ranch, an old cowboy, and he went to our church, and he was one of the neighbors, and he would say to me, I just never feel like I'm saved. And I said, why don't you feel like you're saved? He goes, I just never do. And I said, but that's because you're trusting in yourself. Quit trusting in what you think about you. It isn't about you, but Jesus said the Holy Spirit would testify of him. In other words, he would confirm that Jesus is in us. He's the one that gives us that assurance to confirm what we're doing. Or the Holy Spirit, yes, he is there with you. This word is real. Whenever you start to doubt, you know, maybe this whole thing, what if this whole thing we're believing and go to church for, what if it's not even real? Well, the Holy Spirit comes by and says, let me assure you right here. And then he will do something that'll blow you away. And he will confirm, oh, no, 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 no. It's real. Remember that old song? It's real. It's real. I know it's real. It's a Pentecostal blessing. And I know it's real. Well, he's our GPS. He's our guide. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority. Look at this in verse 16, 13, and I will quit right here. Ainsley and Parker told me to quit telling you I'm quitting and then not quit. Did you put them up to that, Roman? All right, 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, look, he will guide you into all truth. How many depend on their GPS in the car as much as I do? Or on your phone? Okay, she'll tell you, make a legal U-turn. Always tells me, turn around. And the Holy Spirit tells you, turn around. These young people, oh, I'm going to date him, Pastor. He's so cute. I say, what's the Holy Spirit say? Well, he's so nice. But what did the Holy Spirit say? See, and that's where they start ignoring. And the Holy Spirit says, no, no, run, run, don't go there. And they're like, and you know how many messes that would he save us from if we would have just listened? He said, I want to buy that car. And he said, no, don't buy that car. But I just had to have it. Well, don't do that. Don't leave that job. Don't do this. Don't. But we just go ahead and do it. He said, quit ignoring me. Just quit ignoring me. Okay, let me finish here. He will guide us into all truth. He will speak on his authority. But look at this. I'm still reading in verse 13. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. I want you to see that. What he hears, he will speak. He speaks. Jesus said he will speak. He will speak. He will tell you. And there's been so many times, and I've taught my daughter to do this, so many times I've said, Holy Spirit, could you go eavesdrop on what my father and Jesus are talking about? Go eavesdrop and then come back and tell me what they said. And I'm going to tell you, it will work itself out. You don't have to worry about knowing how to hear his voice. You will hear his voice. I promise you. You will get a quality answer, and you'll get it, but you have to ask him for it, and you have to believe the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. So he said, he will tell you about it, and he will glorify me. There it is. So if you want to stay, do you want to stay in a bad place? No. Do you want to have a bad relationship? I swear, I think some people do want to have a bad relationship. Yeah, I do. No, you don't. Now, if you'd have listened to the Holy Spirit, he would have probably helped you out on that. You want bad friends? Yeah, but they've been my friend for 30 years. Well, you better hear what your GPS is saying. And if it says get rid of that friend, you better get rid of that friend. Could lead you down a dead-end street. Then ignore the Holy Spirit and you got troubles, folks. Listen to him, talk to him, and I'm just telling you, your whole life will change. He could have saved us a lot of troubles. Could have saved a lot of kids' addiction. Could have saved a whole lot of things. But he's the one that said, I'll build my church if you'll let me, if you'll help me. Stand with me tonight. I'll just stop. Holy Spirit. Our teacher, our guide, our way maker. Oh, God. Our assurance. He's saying, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Well, the Holy Spirit's our assurance. Lord, teach us. Holy Spirit, I did the best I could. And as I told you just a few hours ago, I felt like that I was so incapable to even bring this to you because, Holy Spirit, you're just so big and you're so massive and it's not even a little thumbnail sketch. But I pray somehow, Lord, we got a point across. But we don't want to ignore you, Holy Spirit. I know these sweet people, and I don't either. This is Landmark Church. We don't want to ignore you. We want you to be the head of this church. Jesus, you are the head, but you said you left us a helper. And Lord, I need a helper. I'm coming to you daily about our school. And so when I'm not getting the answer, I know that either you're preventing something or you're holding it off or you're waiting for just the right person to come here. Now, somebody in this house may feel like they're ready for TBN. Obviously, they're not, or you haven't put them on there yet. So Lord, when you're ready, you put everything in place by the help, the guidance, the teaching, the assurance, and the peace of the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, it's up to us. You know, we could just call everybody up and anoint you with oil until you slide right out the door. But it's not going to do a bit of good unless you consult with him yourself. Now think on these things tonight that I gave you. Just think on it. Just read John chapter 14, 15, 16. Read it all. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you and you talk to him. You say, what am I going to do? Well, go ask Holy Spirit. Go ask him. And if he says, turn around, you'll feel it. It'll be a peaceful answer. If you're at a Y in the road, ask him. The word will give you a general, but he's got the specific. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. Come on, just give him praise tonight. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. Let's sing that, Lindo. Hallelujah.
You are all I need. It's your praise.
More time, let's say it.
You are all I need. It's your face I see.
It's your face
I see. In the presence of
Hallelujah. Before we go, does anyone need prayer tonight? Peggy, what you need, sis? Come on up here, honey. Come on up here. Anyone else want to come have prayer with Peggy? Okay, come on. Yeah, come. Come. Let's never come in here and not consult the Lord with our needs. He said we'd get us out of the ditch. Oh, you had your biopsy today. Oh, and you came to church and that's hurting you. Okay, and that was a biopsy on your thyroid? Come on, some of you want to gather around and help me pray? You girls that want prayer, get up here in this line. Jesus, take the pain from our sweet sister. And we are believing you for a mighty healing report in Jesus' name. No more pain. No pain, Peggy. Lord, thank you for your servant coming to your house tonight. She could have sat home in her easy chair, but she came on. So I pray that this word just flowed right over her and brings healing. Before she gets to her car, may this pain be gone in the name of Jesus. And thyroid, you be whole in the name of the Lord. Sinus, in Jesus' name. And Lord, anyone else in this house suffering with sinus problems, we curse you by the blood of Jesus. We curse it on the authority of God's word. We command your nose, your sinuses, to line up with the word of God, and every cavity to be empty of that which fills it, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, that inner ear, may it be whole. I believe for a good report, sis. Give me that report tomorrow, even before you walk out, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Would you put your hand, wrap your hand around your left thumb, church, in the house. Just put your hand around your left thumb. Father, we curse this pain in the name of Jesus. Lord, bring shalom to this thumb, to every tendon, to every vessel, to everything that concerns every muscle. In Jesus' name. Thumb, take your healing. Satan, you are a liar and the father of lies. You leave every one of these women now. No, you will not torment them tonight. No, it is yea and it's amen. No, no, thumb, you will not hurt her. You'll be gone now in the name of Jesus. Amen, sweetheart. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Oh, Bruce, may the healing of the Lord just rest all over you. I still believe for a mighty outpouring on you. Woo, Selah. Selah. All right, go home with it in Jesus' name. I bless you in the name of the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, turn his face towards you, and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you guys. See you Sunday at the big party, barbecue, freedom, and family.